VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you so much for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is extreme deception taking place in our world today. I mean, it happens by way of the news. You've heard that term, fake news. It's happening, though, in education. It's happening through so-called entertainment. And it's happening in the area of religion. I mean, we should not be surprised because the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about this in the last days. Perilous times would come. He warned, as recorded in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In John's second epistle, he warns in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is deceiver and an antichrist. Satan himself is a deceiver. I mean, John chapter 8, verse 44 refers to the devil as being the father of lies. So does it surprise you that there's so much deception in the world today? I mean, it's really like a fog. It grows thicker and thicker as the days go by. Some areas of deception have very little consequence, but there are other areas of deception that have eternal consequences. And with this deception, there is no going back, no second chance, no further opportunity. Now, today we're going to deal with an issue that's going to be upsetting to some. And for others, it will be like scales being removed from your eyes. Some are going to accuse our topic today, our guest today, of being hateful or being bigoted. But I want to share with you that the information that is going to come forth from the program today is coming out of genuine, sincere love and concern. And here it is. There's been an indoctrination that has been going on and taking place in the minds of many that the Roman Catholic Church is the one true church founded by Christ 2,000 years ago. They claim that Protestant churches began only 500 years ago. Are they correct in saying that? Is there one true church? And if there is, can we identify the one true church? Today we're going to examine this issue and what the Scripture has to say. And rather than get upset and rush to turn off your radio, we trust you'll listen with openness and evaluate the truth of what is being said with Scripture as being your authority. With us today, we welcome Mike Gendron. Mike is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, and Mike was a devout Roman Catholic for over three decades, some 34 years. He was taught to rely upon the authority of the Scripture above all else. But Mike searched the Scriptures, and he was amazed to find that what he read in the Bible, what he read in the Scriptures, contradicted the teaching and the tradition of the church that he had been a part of for so long, over three decades. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and now the Bible is his sole authority in all matters of faith. Mike is the author of various books, Preparing for Eternity, Contending for the Gospel. He's produced numerous videos and speaking engagements with warnings concerning false teachings versus the truth of the Scriptures. Mike, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, it's always a joy and a privilege to be with you, Jim.
Let's begin by defining the true church. I mean, can we attribute the true church to some particular building located somewhere in some major city or to a particular denomination?
No, it's not a denomination or a building. It's an assembly of born-again Christians. They have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has called them out of the world, a people for his own possession. We see that in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And universally, this one true church includes all who have repented and believed the glorious gospel of grace. They've been purified by the blood of Jesus. They've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. They've been sanctified by the truth of God's word. And they are new creatures in Christ. They've been born again. They've been baptized by one Spirit into one body. And the Bible calls them saints. Their names are enrolled in heaven. And their imperishable inheritance is protected by the power of Almighty God. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And so we can't ever see them unless the light of their good works shine before men to glorify their Holy Father. And so that is what the one true church is made up of, born-again Christians. But, Jim, there's also another church. It's the professing church.
Oh, I know. This professing church and then also what we call the possessing church. These are not one of the same. Michael, I understand that the professing church is a whole lot larger than the possessing church. So break it down for us. What do we mean by those terms exactly, professing church and possessing church?
Yeah, by professing church, I simply would include all those who profess the name of Christ. They say they are Christians, but many of them are unfortunately false converts, and that's because they've either been they've been evangelized with unbiblical methods of evangelism, or they believed a compromised gospel, or they believed another Christ. And so many of them profess to be Christ, but because they've never been born again, they do not possess Christ. Only those who have been born again possess Christ. Christ is in them, and they are sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing their eternal inheritance. Many are religious, but they have no relationship with Christ. Many have their names on church rolls, but their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus calls them tares. They've been sown by the devil among the wheat. And unfortunately, Jim, many pastors are welcoming these tares into their churches because they want a larger following. They want more people to be a part of their church, and so they want to grow in influence and wealth. And there's no real discernment as to the difference between a professing Christian and a possessing Christian in many of these seeker-friendly churches. And so these tares may one day hear the most terrifying words that they could ever hear when Jesus declares, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Mm-hmm. And so my heart is full of compassion for those who are where I was. I was a false convert for many years in the Catholic Church, and it wasn't until I opened the Bible and realized I was woefully deceived. And, you know, Jim, that's the very nature of deception. People do not know they're deceived mm-hmm. until they're confronted with the truth.
And so, Mike, that characterized you, like you said. I mean, for over three decades, you were religious, but you had no relationship. Is that correct?
Well, my relationship was with the priest. He was my mediator between me and God, and I depended on the priest to give me the Eucharist, which the Catholic Church taught was giving me Jesus in the form of a wafer. And I was really utterly dependent upon the priest for grace, for saving grace, for my entrance into heaven. And even after I died, I would still be dependent upon the priest to offer sacrifices on an altar to get me out of a place called purgatory, which we know is fictitious. It's not in the Bible. Mm. And so, yes, there's a lot of deception, but Jim, I really hope your audience would take this one thought home, and that is we need to build our theology on the inspired word of God, not on the uninspired words of men. That's where people are so easily deceived. They listen to popes and rabbis and cult leaders. They follow religious traditions rather than checking everything out with the inspired word of God.
Mike Gendron with us here today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Mike, you state very adamantly that Roman Catholicism is not the true church. What is your justification for saying this?
Well, we look at the Roman Catholic Church of today, and it does not bear any resemblance to the first century Church of the Apostles. Nowhere in the New Testament, and by the way, Jim, in case your listeners are not aware, the book of Acts is a history of the first century church. And so nowhere in the New Testament do we see the first century church continuing the work of Christ's redemption on an altar, praying for the dead, venerating Mary, or transubstantiating wafers into the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Nor can we find any mention of indulgences, purgatory, infallible popes, or even a sacerdotal priesthood. There is an indisputable reason for this. Rather than obeying the exhortation of Jude to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, the Catholic Church departed from the apostolic faith to follow deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And so by the authority of Scripture, we can say that the Roman Catholic Church does not resemble the Church of the Apostles in the first century. And some of your listeners might be saying, well, whoa, wait a minute, Mike. How did the Catholic Church follow deceitful spirits? Well, the first lie of the devil in the garden was, you surely shall not die if you break God's command. Well, the Catholic Church has taken the lie of the devil, and they have perpetuated that lie with their doctrine of venial sins. When a Catholic commits a venial sin, which is a smaller sin, they don't experience eternal death or separation from God, only temporal punishment in a place called purgatory. So this doctrine of the devil in the garden, the Catholic Church continues today with its dogma of venial sin, which leads to the fallacy of purgatory and also the fallacy of indulgences. And so all of this was fully documented at the 16th century Council of Trent. And so Catholics like to say that their church is a pillar in support of the truth, but it cannot be because it departed from the truth, and therefore it's not the true church.
So is that what the Council of Trent stated?
Yes, the Council of Trent stated that, and a lot of people think that, you know, I'm being really harsh on Catholics. No, I love Roman Catholics. I want them to believe the Word of God. I don't want them to believe what I believe. I want them to believe the inspired Word of God. And the Council of Trent actually condemns born-again Christians over 100 times with infallible dogmas. An example of that is, if you believe that you're justified by faith apart from works, which is what the Bible teaches, then the Catholic Church condemns us with an anathema. And so there can never be any unity between Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity.
Now, Mike, I heard as you were going through that list of things that you were outlining is not the true church, because looking at what Scripture says, you mentioned no infallible popes, and yet many within the Catholic Church will point to Peter as being the first pope, that Jesus told him, I'm going to build my church upon you. Could you address this issue? Because that you've got some people puzzled about that matter.
Well, sure. The whole Roman Catholic religion really is supported by Matthew 16:18, because there Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church. Well, what did Peter just do? He just made a profession of faith as to who Jesus is. And that's the only way anyone can enter the true church of Jesus Christ, is to make that same profession of faith. And so a few moments later, Jesus told the apostles, before I build my church, I must first go and die for my church. And what did Peter say? Lord, Lord, may it never be. He's calling Jesus Lord, and then he's rebuking him. And so Jesus responds, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men rather than the things of God. In other words, he's calling Peter a mouthpiece of the devil. So clearly, Peter was not infallible, nor was he the kind of man that Jesus would build his church on. In fact, Jesus would not build his church on any man, because we're all fallible. He built his church on himself. He is the rock and the cornerstone.
We're going to take a quick break and come back for further discussion on the topic. And again, friends, we want you to take what you're hearing today, and rather than just harsh, you know, with harsh terms say, hey, you're being hateful and bigoted and so forth and bashing, compare what is being said today to the teachings of the Scripture. Mike Gendron, our guest, will be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when did the Ice Age happen?
Chris, the Bible doesn't mention the Ice Age by name, but it probably occurred in the several hundred years following the flood as an after effect of the flood. The waters then were probably much warmer than today and would have easily evaporated, pumping great volumes of moisture up into the atmosphere, where it would then condense and fall as snow. The snow continued to build up and packed into ice, which then could flow south, but it certainly didn't cover the entire globe. This would have been happening up through the time of Abraham. Job lived about the time of Abraham, and in the book of Job, ice and snow were mentioned more times than in any other book in the Bible. Job lived in a warm area, but he knew about the ice up in Europe. The Ice Age would have continued until the oceans gave up their excess heat, and that all happened back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and today is it's a deception alert. Mike Gendron is with us here from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. He was involved for some over 30 years as a Roman Catholic and started finding, as he read the scriptures, things aren't adding up here. And am I being deceived? And put his full trust in the authority of scripture itself and became a born-again believer in Christ and follows the teachings of the Word. We're talking about it's a deception alert today. What is the true church? And, Mike, if Roman Catholicism is not the true church, you indicate there's only one door to the true church. First of all, what gives you the authority to say that?
Well, I have no authority. In fact, that's the goal of our ministry, is to point people to the infallible, inspired Word of God. That must be our authority in all matters of faith. And Jim, we need to be good Bereans. We need to test what you say, what I say, what any teacher says with the authority of God's Word. That's what the Bereans did when the apostle was teaching in the synagogues of Berea. They searched the scriptures daily to test an apostle's teaching. So that's a good principle for all of us to follow. Test every man's teaching with the authority of God's Word.
Okay, so you indicate that there are spiritual promises that are given to the true church. What are these promises?
Well, every member of the true church enjoys every spiritual blessing in Christ. We see that in Ephesians 1:3. And what are these blessings? Well, they include the complete forgiveness of sin. I never had that as a Roman Catholic. We always had residual sins that had to be purged. And then we also, as a spiritual blessing, have the promise of never being condemned again. In Romans 8:1, we see there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Another spiritual blessing is the gift of Christ's righteousness. You know, that's our only passport into heaven, Jim. Our works fall short of the righteousness that God's righteousness requires. And we see in Romans 1:17 that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God, and the only way we can get into heaven is with perfect righteousness, and that's why Christ lived for 30 years obeying the law perfectly so that he could give his righteousness as a gift to those who believe. Another spiritual blessing is the assurance of eternal life. That's the very promise of the gospel. And many professing Christians believe in conditional life. It's because they're trusting in what they must do instead of what Christ has done. The only way you can have assurance is to put all your faith in what Christ has done. And another spiritual blessing is an eternal relationship with God through the one mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Members of the Catholic Church do not possess any of these spiritual blessings, so their only hope is to do what the Apostle Paul did. He exchanged his religion for a relationship with the all-sufficient Savior. We see that in Philippians 3:3-8. And Jim, if anybody had reason to boast about his religion and his religious activities, it was the Apostle Paul. But in the end, he considered it all dung, worthless. He exchanged it for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Catholics must do. That's what anyone must do who's more loyal to their religion than they are to the Word of God.
Mike, I'd like to back you up just a moment here, because you indicated just a bit ago that eternal relationship with God is only through, and you use the term, one mediator, Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of Catholics that will use Mary as a mediator. How can you say that it is only one mediator, Jesus Christ, and not praying through Mary? As some are wondering, say, I pray the rosary every day. Is it wrong to pray the rosary? Is it wrong to pray to Mary? I mean, the Pope does it.
Yes, it is wrong. In fact, again, the Bible is our authority. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And Jim, the reason for that is he's the only one qualified. He's God's perfect man and man's perfect God. The role of a mediator is to come between two warring parties. And so before we were Christians, we were at enmity with God. our relationship was one of hostility. But through the mediation of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, he changed that relationship to one of peace and harmony. And that is an eternal relationship. Because once we're reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, God no longer counts our sins against us. We find that in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. So there's a lot of good news in looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as our all-sufficient Savior. In Roman Catholics, many of the Catholic women prefer to go through Mary, but Mary's not qualified. She was not sinless. In fact, she cried out to her Savior in Luke chapter 2. Sinners need a Savior, so the fact that Mary called out to the Savior proves that she was a sinner. And so we just urge Roman Catholics to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope and their only mediator.
So are you saying do not pray the rosary, that there's no merit to that?
Not at all. In fact, it's an abomination to God. We see that in Deuteronomy 18, that we are not to consult the dead. And the only prayers that are heard are by our omniscient God in heaven. He's the only one that hears our prayers, and he's the only one that can answer our prayers. And Catholics not only pray to Mary, but also to the saints. And they're all dead, and we're not to consult the dead. It's an abomination to God.
Well, Mike, not only are there spiritual promises given to the true church, but there are also privileges of the true church. What are these privileges?
Well, the true church is called the bride of Christ, the flock of the good shepherd, the household of faith, and the adopted family of God. You know, prior to our conversion as Christians, we were children of the devil. But through being born again as new creatures in Christ, God has adopted us as his children. And so the true church are a chosen race, a holy nation. They've been commissioned to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we see that in 1 Peter 2:9. They've been given the awesome privilege of being ambassadors to the King of Kings. And Jim, you know that one of the greatest privileges for an American citizen would be to be an ambassador for our country throughout the world. And here we are, as Christians, we're called to be ambassadors to the King of Kings, and we are to take his message throughout the world. We've been commissioned to proclaim the gospel to everyone who needs to hear it, everyone who is lost, everyone who is on the wide road to destruction. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the call is to repent and believe it.
Okay, just to make certain then, Mike, these privileges that you've just talked about, they're only for those who have gone through that one door, that door being Jesus Christ, correct?
That's right. He's the one door. In fact, he said he is the door, and if anyone enters through me, he will be saved. We say that in John 10:9. He's also referred to as the narrow gate that leads to life. Many people are on the broad road that leads to destruction, and the only way they'll know that is that those who have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to lovingly confront those who are deceived and point them to the narrow gate, which is the only entrance into heaven.
Now, you also indicate that there's a protection for the true church.
Yes, there is. The Good Shepherd promises that the gates of hell shall not overpower his church. It's the only church which is certain to endure unto the end. Nothing can destroy it. Its members may be persecuted, oppressed, imprisoned, beaten, and martyred. But whenever the church is crushed in one country, it springs up in another. So every member of the true church has equal and direct access to the throne of grace through the veil that was torn open at the moment of Christ's death. And Jim, that's one of the great miracles that your listeners need to be aware of, especially Roman Catholics that are listening. When Jesus gave up his spirit, the veil separating the Holy of Holies from sinful man was torn open from top to bottom, showing that now, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus, we have direct access to the Father. We no longer need priests offering sins that can never take away the punishment. We now have direct access to God through Jesus Christ.
Well, you heard me as I introduced the program today, as I indicated at the very beginning that there's a lot of deception in the world today, Mike. And you've also indicated that there are many people who are blinded from the light of the gospel. Can this religious indoctrination that we've received, can religious indoctrination blind people from the truth?
Well, yes. In fact, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so one of the many devices that Satan uses to blind people is religious indoctrination. And many people in the Roman Catholic Church, from the time they can think, they've been indoctrinated to believe that they belong to the one true church. And as long as they are loyal to the church will get them to heaven. And so when anyone comes to witness to a Roman Catholic, that religious tradition, that religious indoctrination blinds them from wanting to hear the gospel because they've been told that their church will eventually get them to heaven. There's another device that Satan uses, and that's religious pride. And it's not only Roman Catholics that have religious pride, but it definitely is used by Satan to veil the true gospel.
What do you mean by religious pride? What do you mean by it? And can this religious pride keep people in darkness?
Well, sure it can. Many people believe, I see this in the Protestant denominations as well. There's a religious pride about a denomination. The Catholic Church believes that they're the one true church, so that's a religious pride. And it really stems from this indoctrination that produces a fierce, unbending loyalty to their religion. And so they're unapproachable because they've been indoctrinated to believe that they are the one true church, and this produces a great pride and spiritual arrogance. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, this is what the devil uses to keep people from hearing the gospel. They just turn people away that want to share the truth, and they just rely on their religion to keep them safe.
Okay, so Mike, what will set a person free from this darkness? What will set a person free from this deception?
Yeah, good question. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, Paul says that we are to pray for those in opposition to the gospel, that God would grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, so they can escape the snare of the devil that holds them captive to do his will. So all unbelievers are held captive by the devil to do his will, and again, religious deception holds them in bondage as well. Jesus gave the answer as to how you can be set free. In John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, he said, "If you're truly a disciple of mine, you will abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free from what? Well, free from religious bondage, free from the bondage of the devil, free from the power of sin. So true Christians will abide in God's word. And once they do, they'll be protected from any further deception.
Mike Gendron is with us here today, and friends, we're just seconds away from the break. We're going to take the break. We're going to be opening phone lines where you may call and ask your questions. Perhaps something Mike said upset you and you want to challenge him on it, or perhaps there's some question that's been puzzling you as it relates to the true church and deception along this religious deception we're talking about today. So we also are going to be telling you about a special offer that is available through Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. So if you want to have handy a sheet of paper, a pen, or a pencil following the break, we'll get to that here momentarily. If you'd like to call in with your question today or a brief comment, our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 here at a Crosstalk. And we'll be back in just 1 minute here with Mike Gendron, and also be ready to take down some information here he'll be sharing right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Marital conflict is increasing. The commitment to love and to cherish is being thrown away in many relationships. Marriage has been shunned by some and distorted from God's original design by others. The film Amazing Love is a feature-length film depicting a true commitment in marriage. It is the story of a youth director and his wife who take 5 teens from their youth group to the wilderness for a 2-night campout. 2 teen girls then have a sharp argument that causes division. Tensions are high. The youth leader gathers the teens and tells the account of Hosea. Using flashback, the film takes you to Nazareth as the story of Hosea unfolds. a story of commitment, of cherishing vows, of faithfulness, and unconditional love. The DVD, Amazing Love, is available for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is with us today. He is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. And Mike, I know that you have produced a number of teaching DVDs on this and related topics, and you've got a special offer you'd like to make available here to our Crosstalk listeners today.
Yes, we have a DVD with a couple of messages on them. And Jim, as I shared, I have a great compassion for the false converts that are in the church. They profess Christ, but they don't possess him. And so we have a DVD entitled False Converts in the Church. And so what we want to do is just urge people to examine themselves. That's what the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. And that's what this DVD does. It takes you through tests that we can do for ourselves to make sure we're born-again Christians. We're also offering a free publication entitled True Faith or False Hope, How Can I Be Sure? And again, this is based on Paul's exhortation to examine ourselves to make sure that we haven't been deceived by false teachers or false gospels. So this publication is available to anybody that orders the DVD, and we've discounted it for the VCY listeners.
And you've got that available for how much?
It's available for $12, and people can either go to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, or after the program, they can call the ministry line, which is 817-379-5300, and we'd be glad to take their orders over the phone.
Okay, so right now that line is tied up, friends, but you can call, or rather contact, by web, proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on Store, then click on Video Messages on DVD, and you'll see this, False Converts in the Church, and will really help you examine yourself. Are you being deceived? And you can, you know, watch, am I being taken in by these false statements that are being said, or am I adhering to the true teachings of the inspired Word of God? Also, Mike, you've got a bonus message on there as well, Witnessing for the Glory of God.
Right, it's what we're all given the great privilege of doing as Christians, is to take the gospel throughout the world, and this is a great exhortation for all of us to consider this not only a royal privilege, but also an awesome responsibility.
Our number to Crosstalk, well, I see our lines are packed, but write the number down and pick up your phone after you hear somebody discontinue their time with us here. Our number is 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in Racine, Wisconsin. We have Carrie calling. Hi, Carrie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for letting me in. Mr. Gendron, thank you so much for your passion for the truth. What I'm wondering is, do you personally believe it's possible for someone who grew up in the Catholic Church to be truly converted as a follower of Christ and still remain within that church? And if so, kind of how would that play out?
Okay. Thank you, Carrie.
Once you've been born again of the Spirit of Truth will eventually lead you out as you are discipled. Remember, the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, not decisions. So as a person is discipled and they're taught everything that Christ has commanded, they can no longer stay in a false church that deceives its people about life's most critical issues. So ultimately, it's the Spirit of God that will lead them out as they abide in the Word of God, either through a mentor that has shared the gospel with them or through Christian radio programs will lead them out as well.
Okay, so if one is truly born again, a possessor, not just a professor, if he's sitting in that church building itself and the mass is being conducted, whatever it is, you're saying that the Spirit of God is going to do something in that heart, saying, hey, this is not right. It's going to bring conviction. It's going to quicken that heart, saying, this is false. This is not what the Word of God says.
That's correct, because it is idolatry to worship the Eucharist as the true Christ. And that's why they cannot participate in the sin of idolatry anymore. They must come out and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshipers that God seeks, as we see in John 4:24.
We've got Mike calling from Mount Pleasant. You're on the air, Mike.
Yes, hi. Mike, I was raised a Roman Catholic, And a couple of years ago, a friend of mine introduced me to a set of Acantist Catholic Church on the south side of Milwaukee, which does not follow the Pope, which observes all of the original rituals of the Mass in Latin. It's called the Tridentine Mass. And I need to know, I got a few questions for you. In your opinion, is the Tridentine Mass in Latin with all the gestures that were performed for centuries, is that authentic worship?
Not at all. It's idolatry. Just because they don't submit to this Pope, they think it's a false Pope, but they do everything else. They have the works righteousness salvation. They believe that Christ is not sufficient. They have to have purgatory to purge away lesser sins, which is also a deception of the devil, as we talked about. So, yeah, it's identical to the Catholic Church. They just don't submit to Pope Francis.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a book called the Piano Prayer Book?
No, I have not.
Okay. There are several passages and stories in it about how Jesus has appeared to several saints since he rose from the dead, and something in there is just truly astounding. It's called The Oration of Jesus Christ. I'd like to send you a copy of this book. Where can I mail something to you?
Yeah, just call me after the show, okay?
Great.
I'd love to get a copy.
Great, and we're going to be sharing that phone number with you here again at the near the close of the program. And
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for the call. Let's see. We've got Brenda in Cookeville, Tennessee. You're on the air, Brenda.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just today got back from a vacation at the beach with my brother and other family members. Two or three of them are Catholic to the core. We were all brought up Baptist. And my brother just says there's nothing, that Catholics are the only true religion. I want to know how to talk to him and witness to him and let him, I've told him a couple of times that there's no way that the Catholics are the true religion. And he thinks I'm crazy. He loves me to death, but he thinks I'm crazy for thinking that. And so I just want to know how to talk to him in a way that would let him know that this is wrong. And number two, he showed me something Sunday after they got back from going to church while we were at the beach. It was something on Facebook, and it was looked to me kind of like a Eucharist, if that's how you say that, on the wall. And it looked like it had a beating heart in it that was supposed to be the bread. And it had a beating heart in it for like, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds. Well, he just thinks that is a miracle, a living miracle. And, of course, I think he's crazy.
Well, but, Brenda, we know that Satan can do lying signs and wonders to deceive even the elect if possible. And so we have to, again, go to the authority of God's Word. But there's a couple of DVDs that you might consider sharing. And one is I'm a Christian, You're a Catholic, So What's the Difference? And the other one is Hard Questions for Good Catholics. And this will lovingly confront him and his unbelief and challenge him to consider the Word of God over the teachings and traditions of his false religion. So I would encourage you to visit our website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Our newsletter is posted there that we talked about in this program, and we'd be glad to help you.
And, you know, Mike, you also have some of the tracks that you have actually point out that here's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, here's what the Word of God teaches, and those two things don't meet.
Well, you're right. In fact, in the track that's our most popular one, it's called Roman Catholicism, Scripture versus Tradition. And, Brenda, what I did is I took the Roman Catholic Bible and laid it right alongside the Roman Catholic Catechism on the doctrines of Jesus and the doctrines of salvation. And I show that a Catholic must choose between the two because the Catechism always opposes their Bible. And hopefully they'll choose Christ and His Word over their Catechism and come to faith in Christ. Another nice feature of this track is I show two paths to salvation. One is the Roman Catholic path, what they teach, and the other is the biblical path. And those two paths really are eye-opening to show Catholics that they are on the wide road to destruction.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll get on your website. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. Fred in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering a question on the gospel that I saw in the VCY story that you have scripture references.
Okay, Fred, we're talking with Mike Gendron here today on the program. Do you have a question on Catholicism, Fred? Fred, you have a okay. Let's go to James in Sparta, Tennessee. James, you're on the air. Hello, James. Okay, one more time, James. We can hear a noise in the background. Okay, let's go to Josh in Milwaukee. Hi, Josh, you're on the air.
Hi, actually in Waukesha, but I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate the conversation about the fallacies of the Catholic Church. And I just wanted to comment and encourage people who are moving away from the Catholic doctrines to look into the changes that the Catholics made at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Some of those include the changing of the solemnity of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday as the fourth commandment, also introducing the doctrine of the Trinity, and also the idea that anybody who wants to oppose Catholicism and their ideals would continue to do things like celebrate false holidays such as Christmas and Easter and Halloween. We should be going back to the original Torah teachings of Yeshua, who said that we should follow the Torah, and that in Romans 3:31, should we make void the law through faith? Certainly not. We should establish the law.
Let me have Mike address those issues. You've raised many, many issues here, Josh from Waukesha. Mike.
Well, Josh, I think our primary ministry is to share the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things that you refer to are all tangential. First, people have to come to a saving faith in Christ. Then they will know the truth of God's word. You know, the natural man cannot discern the things of God because they're spiritually appraised. So they first must receive the Spirit before we can begin to disciple them in these other areas.
Okay, thank you. Let's go next to John in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just remember 47 years ago, just desiring to know the truth and crying out to the Lord and asking, help me to find the truth, not according to the church or any church, Lutheran, Catholic, or whatever, but according to the Word of God. And he did that. And I accepted the Lord in February of 1975. And when I was back and forth through my parents, but it was a wonderful liberal.
Hello, John. I think we got a bad cell. There we go.
How being bound in Catholicism, how liberating it is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but not only that, to know for sure you're going to heaven, not based upon history or tradition, but based upon the Word of God. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And I really encourage them to listen to Mike and to get his materials, because it is liberating. I remember after I accepted the Lord, I went to a few masses, and the Spirit of God just convicted me deeply about how wrong and how egregious that was to him. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Great. Thank you, John. Mike.
Yeah, John, we praise God for your salvation to deliver you out of darkness into the glorious light of Christ. And I really encourage those who have they take advantage of our resources. We need to sow the imperishable seed of God's Word. And the best way to do that is through gospel tracts. So please take advantage of our resources.
Okay, a quick 60-second break, and we will come back to more of your phone calls from across the nation here today. Mike Gendron with us from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. And folks, again, can I encourage you, just don't raise up the defenses. Compare with what Mike is saying to what the authority of the Word of God has to say, okay? We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, since the early 90s, I and many others like Tom DeWeese have been warning about Agenda 21, also known now as Agenda 2030. Well, here's a new phrase you need to learn, 30 by 30. The Biden regime, in connection with the Department of Agriculture, the Interior Department, and global entities, are working here in America and around the world to take the farmland from farmers. Right now in the Netherlands, we're seeing big riots by, and rightfully so, the farmers. The government's trying to tell them they have to cut their herds by 50% to protect some kind of clover. Here in America, the 30 by 30 land grab is just that. The federal government wants to take 30% of our land and waterways by 2030. 30% of our land gone, can't be used. The end of private property by 2030. Wake up, Americans.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is with us here today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. His website, again, is proclaimingthegospel.org. Proclaimingthegospel.org. And he has reduced in price one of the DVDs on his site, False Converts in the Church, and how you can be sure that you are a possessor, not just a professor. But it also has a bonus message on that DVD, Witnessing for the Glory of God. He's also, those who get that DVD, he's also sending out a complimentary track, True Faith or False Hope. And we'll give you the phone number at the very end, but the website, proclaimingthegospel.org, click on store, then video messages on DVD, and you'll find it there. He's got it there for, you said $12, Mike?
That's correct.
Okay, with the two messages there and that complimentary gospel tract as well. We're going next to Ashland, Kentucky. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jim, for taking my call. And, Mike, I just want to praise you, brother, for being a beacon of light in this world today. And, you know, the Lord's really been speaking to me about the proselytization of the Gentiles that have converted to the religion of Judaism. And I'd like to also speak about in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, the seven letters to the seven churches. It is extremely significant. The church of Thyatira is the Catholic Church. The church of Sardis is the Protestantism. Listen to what he says to the church of Philadelphia and to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia. Right. These things says the Holy One, the True One, the One who has the key of David, the One who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name.
Thank you for that here, Mike. Any response here, Mike Gendron?
Amen.
Okay. We've got Travis in West Bend. You're on the air.
Hi. I just had a quick question. I became a born-again Christian in 2012. My entire family are Roman Catholics. My dad is a devout Roman Catholic. He does the rosary, he does the sacraments. And I was just wondering, I got your tracts, and I'm afraid to give them to them because they're very forefront about Catholicism and how I'm wrong. And I also sent them a video that one of you had for hard questions for good Catholics, and they didn't respond. I really don't know what to do to help them. I'm not trying to be against them. I want to help save them. So if you have any input, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of the best ways to witness it to our family and friends is to ask questions, because unbelievers don't want to be preached at. But if you ask questions, you show them that you care for them. And people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we actually have a lesson that we can share with you on our website on how to effectively witness to loved ones and family members.
Okay, proclaimingthegospel.org. Eddie in Texas, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Brother Jim and Brother Mike. I just wanted to comment, and, you know, we go on just about every Saturday to go witness and soul winning, and just about every door that we knock, you know, people are, you know, we're Catholics, you know, but it's so explained, you know, there. It says it in Exodus 24, you know, that I should not worship any graven images, you know, that I should not, you know, worship them, right? And that's what Catholic churches have. I don't understand that, why so many preachers, that keep on, I mean, it's there in the Bible, it's so clear in Exodus 24, and then, you know, they added five more books to the scriptures.
Yeah, Eddie, we need to stay focused on the gospel. You know, in Romans 1:16, Paul says the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And so we need to share the gospel and show them the difference between the Catholic plan of salvation, which is under divine condemnation for adding requirements based on Galatians 1, 6 to 9, but lead with the gospel, show them that they're believing a false gospel, and call them to repent and believe the sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Eddie. David in Wheelersburg, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I love your program. But most importantly, I love the Lord. I was raised Catholic my whole life till I was 22. I got saved in an old-fashioned college prayer meeting, and I tell you, I got salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love him and praise him and thank him. Thanks again for your program. I love you.
Great. Thank you, David, for your call. Mark in Chandler, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes. My name is Mark, and I was calling because there's a Catholic priest on YouTube, and he has a talk show. And every time, or rather he'll invite the Protestant ministers or anybody that will challenge him on Catholic religion. Mm-hmm. And they will pick a topic, and then they will speak on that particular topic. And every time that the non-Catholic minister tries to explain to this priest passages concerning Christ, mm-hmm, and how the Catholic is misleading the people, and then he will come on and make references to the Bible, how the Catholic is the only and the correct religion in this world. And he tells the visiting priest that how wrong they are and that they are going straight to hell for not believing in Catholicism.
Okay, and tell you what, we're down to 60 seconds, and I want Mike to have some time to respond here.
Yeah, Mark, I'd like to be on his show, so if you could send me the information, go to our website and just contact me on the website. I'd love to be part of that.
Great, and we'll be giving out his Mike's contact information here. Thank you, Mark, for that, and Mike would certainly be glad to join him on the program and challenge him. Mike Gendron with us, and the False Converts in the Church DVD they have available on their website. That's the bonus message, Witnessing for the Glory of God, the complimentary track, then True Faith or False Hope. You can go to proclaimingthegospel.org, proclaimingthegospel.org, click on Store, then Video Messages, or you may call this number, 817-379-5300, 817-379-5300. And Mike, thank you for being with us today.
It's always a joy. Thank you, Jim, for having me.
And Mike Gendron from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Again, folks, today's program, I ask, please don't just rear up in anger, but take what Mike has said today and compare it to the authority of God's Word, the Bible. Scripture, all Scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we have a deception alert today discussing the true church. May God bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.